Media Network.
It's Roast with J.M. Bell and Tom. Here are your Roastmasters.
Double Rambo.
You better believe I'm recording this.
Double Rainbow.
Seriously, though, never was a more Oregonian thing said to me from you than that.
I went out to get some water, and I looked out the window, and there was this screamingly huge rainbow, bigger than some of the ones I just saw in Hawaii. And I was just like, get the camera.
That's so pretty. I like it.
It's beautiful.
Sure.
It was a double rainbow. That's what it was. Speaking of rainbows, how is that miracle in the desert? How are you doing?
It's dry here, brother.
We're wet again.
Never mind. It's not.
Holy cow. Holy moly. Oh boy.
I'm not ranting and raving.
Not one bit.
Not one bit. A little bit of side business.
Should I be recording? Should I stop recording?
I'm recording.
Okay, good.
We get it.
Because I don't edit, remember?
Yeah, you don't edit?
I don't edit.
Good, I don't either.
Okay, good.
Well, a little bit. Especially when I sound stupid. I actually found a Shure SM7B for under $300.
Nice.
On Craigslist. This is what you're hearing right now.
It sounds good. You got a lot of good depth, good bass tone.
I also put an EQ on top of it and another filter. Another track plug filter that I use. So if you're a technician out there and you know about all this kind of stuff, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we use. We push it about as far as we can. So there you have it. So where would you like to start this week?
Well, let me start with a little bit of network business, if you don't mind.
Please.
The Defenestrate Media Broadcast Network is hiring.
Oh, my God.
Sorta. It is a commission only position because it's only super part time, but we're looking for a sales manager. I need somebody to come in here and get my ass in shape and working on monetizing all of our bits and pieces. So if you are a person who knows places and other people that would be interested, reach out to me. It's not small commission. It's 30%. Of anything you bring in. So let me know. Get a hold of me at theleftshow.com. It's time to take this shit seriously, Tom. That's what it is.
It's time to take this shit seriously, Jeff, man. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, if the show is this good, and we can also talk later about numbers and stuff. I hopefully we're growing as a show.
We're growing. I need to pull those numbers for you, though. I haven't done that yet. So, yes. Other than that, things are testy and trite, tricky and tense. I'm looking for other T words that mean that terrible and tragic events.
Just it's been two fucking weeks in a row, man. Just like two incredible. You know, I've got other family members that come home, you know, from work, and they just look at me. I can't even. It's just everything's just like I can't fucking deal with anything. You know, and I just say, hey, 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 on your knees, hands together, look up in the sky. There's God. Now start praying. That's what I say.
Yeah, that doesn't work with my group. We're just a bunch of atheists over here. We're
atheists too. I was just fucking around.
I know. We don't find the beauty in rainbows like you Oregonians do.
Rainbow. Double rainbow. And then there was Kellyanne Conway. Rainbow Destroyer.
You know, there's other terrifying people in this administration that you could use that for. But I like the fact that it's just for her.
I found it from the lobster. that I've already been through this a couple of times before. If you want to waste a couple of hours of your life,
oh God,
you know, and watch this, and you just go, why did I watch that? Why did I watch The Human Centipede? Why did I watch this?
Honestly,
that's Shostakovich.
I have not seen.
That little stinger is so fantastic.
I have not seen The Human Centipede.
I haven't either.
I have managed to skip that
one. I have my limits.
I hear you, brother. It's I see what it's about, and I am not interested.
I used to be. I don't think I used to be a viewer of horror like that. I used to be into, you know, campy horror and stuff like Sam Raimi. I used to watch. I mean, like, I'm fascinated by Dead Man by Jim Jarmusch. And then we had the kids, and it was like, protect everything. You know, I take a look at Winnie the Pooh. I think it might have been a Blustery Day video. And,
you know, speaking of horror,
it's a kid in Winnie the Pooh who has the
Christopher
pop gun.
Robin. Oh,
Christopher Robin. He's got a pop gun. And go, no! He's got a fucking gun! Hi, the video. You can't show it. No.
He's time for bear hunt. That's what happens when kids like Christopher Robin discover Ted Nugent. It's Piglet for supper. So, no. Okay, now I love Sam Raimi. I love the work of Sam Raimi. I love pretty much everything the son of a bitch has done. However, they let a kid, a director out of Mexico, I believe, do his own very serious remake of The Evil Dead. And
that's right, they did.
I'm not a horror guy. I don't like it very much. Usually because I spend most of my time trying to break apart how they did the technical effects. You know, I like practical effects. And so I get a little into it. Evil Dead is the only horror movie I have ever watched that just freaked me the fuck out. I'm just like, oh my God, why am I watching this? This is awful.
It's so funny. You just get Bruce Campbell and his hand gets, it's either one or two, and his hand gets taken over because it gets bitten by the book.
And he takes it off at the wrist.
And he gets knocked out because his hand becomes, you know, totally turns into a malevolent force and starts hitting him over the head with plates.
Yes.
And he plays it so bloody well.
Well, here's the thing.
He knocks himself out, and then his hand is just like crawling. His hand's crawling towards something where it's going to kill, you know, Bill Campbell. And then all of a sudden, there's like a knife, boom, that goes right through the hand. And it's Campbell because he woke up and he jammed a knife right through his hand. And he goes, I got you now, you motherfucker. It's like the funniest fucking thing I ever saw in my life.
I've seen those. Those are delightful. Those are my favorite movies of all time. It's the one the Mexican kid did. The new remake that was out 2008 or 9.
Mm.
And it is just creepy as fuck. Whereas Bruce Campbell, you know, with Chainsaw Hand and all, love all those movies.
In fact,
here's something for you. If you haven't watched the new Evil Dead series on Stars... Mm.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, his hand is still in play. It plays a very big part of the story in season one.
Oh, that's great.
So,
wonderful. Even a movie that I don't think was all that great for Sam Raimi, Drag Me to Hell. There's something about it still that I just like, aw.
The Spider-Man 2. There was a scene with where Doc Octopus's arms come to life while he's unconscious.
Yeah.
And it is the most Evil Dead thing shot in any of those movies.
Oh,
it's glorious.
Oh, I remember that. Yes. That was a great Spider-Man.
A lot of hard zooms, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of really good shadow work. So, if you don't mind, I'll go first today.
Please, go right ahead.
I have not much. What I have is sort of an evolution, a historical evolution of things in America that have gone from brave and stand up to now. And now, oddly enough, I have something so terrifying, even Sam Raimi couldn't write it. But this last week in history, a couple of important things happened in America. The first one was the first woman ever nominated to be president of the United States, Victoria Woodhull, Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Victoria Woodhull, 50 years before ratification of the 19th Amendment in 1920, gave women the right to vote, which means that on Election Day, Woodhull couldn't even vote for herself. Her running mate was Frederick Douglass.
Wow.
And I hear he's doing good things now.
Oh, of course. This administration isn't. It got him on speed dial.
Yeah. Woodhull ran under the name or the banner of the Equal Rights Party, formerly the People's Party, which supported equal rights for women and women's suffrage. The party nominated her to run against incumbent Ulysses S. Grant, Republican, and Democrat Horace Greeley.
Oh, Horace, Mr. Education.
Yep. So that happened this last week, right? On May 10th, a long time ago. But also this last week, also on May 10th, in 1869, the Transcontinental Railroad was completed. And, you know, we're in Utah. I am, at least. And this is where the two bits of the railroad ran into each other, and they pounded in the Golden Spike, you see, here. And we've got a little monument for it. And this is where it culminated, from east to west. Utah's where the railroad met. What this did was it opened up America for expansion, for shipping, for the shipment of goods, services, etc., tied the two coasts together and made coast-to-coast travel, and indeed governing an entire country this size, a doable thing. And what it was, and now look, at this very moment, I am glossing over the insane amount of human rights violations, murder, and near on-site genocide of those minorities and Irish that were basically murdered, you know, railroad tycoons. But what we saw and what we have and what we've taken from that, you know, are the benefits that taught us that, one, it could be done. Two, that we could build things on a national scale. After this came mega dams. After this came, you know, roadways. After that came the freeway system.
The electrical system.
Yeah, the electrical grid. Now, we get to now, and don't get me wrong, the electrification of rural America took too long, but it did get done. If you're out in the boons, you can get electricity to yourself. And now, and if you move off.
Strangely enough, Hoover did it. Hoover, it was, yeah, that was the TVA. That was his accomplishment.
Right.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, actually. Because, you know what? War criminal George W. Bush gave tens of millions of dollars to Africa to help fight AIDS. Not in the most effective ways, but he did it. So every once in a while, even dipshits can do the right thing. So when you look at the list of accomplishments of things that we could do as a country, you know, well, at the time when we set our mind to it and set our morality aside from it. But now that we're older, now that we're wiser,
questionable there.
But
yeah, I didn't know. Yeah.
Now that technology has come along to make it so that we don't have to kill off thousands and thousands of people to make shit happen, it turns out that a lot of the things that we have built over the last couple of hundred years are still waiting for a spruce. When we look at our infrastructure and it's crumbling, you know, a lot of these roads and bridges were first mapped, laid out, and their foundations poured in the 1800s, you know, and
crazy shit.
Yeah, and we're still driving shit on them that weighs more than anything possibly could have back then, because, as you know, gravity did not work the same in the 1800s as it does now. I'm pretty sure that I heard that from a Republican on the Science Committee. So,
yeah. Makes sense to me.
So we had, for tens of decades, for scores of years, if you will, sir, unprecedented, ever-running technological growth due to America's belief not only in itself and what it could accomplish, But the fact that we embraced innovation, in some cases, we embraced innovation too far. When you look at the way that we were doing farming, and we ended up turning the Midwest into a big dust bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're Americans and we used to be able to figure this kind of shit out, we turned it right back into the lush prairie, where now we still grow over 50% of the world's soy, 40% of the world's corn, you know, 25% of the world's beef. These are things that we do, and we do this because we figure out ways not only to do things, but then to fix the fuck-ups that we do when we do them too fast without checking in first. We don't do that anymore.
No.
And I'd like to give you a couple of examples, and then I would like to scare the shit out of you. This last week, the EPA dismissed members of the Major Scientific Review Board.
That's right.
Right? Five members.
That's right.
The latest signal in what critics are calling a campaign by the Trump administration to shrink the agency's regulatory reach by reducing the role of academic research. Spokesperson for the EPA, Scott Pruitt spokesperson, said he would consider replacing the academic scientists with representatives from industries whose pollution the agency is supposed to regulate.
Oh, brilliant.
As part of the wide net it plans to cast. The administrator believes we should have people on this board who understand the impact of regulations on the regulated committee or community. The guy's name is J.P. Afriere.
Jesus.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Basically,
Jesus God.
The president has ordered Pruitt to remake the EPA into the efficient polluting agency, is my guess. Because they want to take an inclusive approach to regulation, but that inclusive approach only comes at the cost of those who have proven since the birth of America that they cannot be trusted. So in addition to that this week, and I'll touch on this very lightly, but because it deserves far more time than I plan to give it. Director Comey was fired from his directorship at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. There are a lot of different excuses for why the Trump group has done this. My favorite so far is that when, and this is just delightful, and it was like something where I went, ha-ha, oh, what the fuck? Comey had one of his aides go back and amend his congressional testimony from last fall to basically take out all of the injurious shit he said about Hillary Clinton.
Jesus.
And the
God.
Emails on that laptop. He had his testimony changed to reflect the truth as opposed to the bullshit that he threw out there, and with the help of Jason Chaffetz of Utah, sent out to the world and basically cost us a country.
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Right. I think he did this because he knew the end was near and that his authority to change his big fat fucking lie would go away. And what we see now is one of the many excuses that the Trump administration has given for firing him is how he screwed up the Hillary Clinton thing and lied at his deposition when he did this.
A complete bogus excuse, as anybody who ever gets close to Trump, as you say, it immediately becomes, if they try to be a dignity wraith, they're destroyed.
Right.
They're destroyed. And as today has evidenced, Trump himself comes out and says, hey, I want this investigation to stop. So therefore, I'm firing Comey. That's what I'm going to do.
And it is a complete misunderstanding of how it works, because the investigation is not only going on, but the FBI made raids today at a fundraising firm that worked for the Trump campaign.
Paul Manafort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, just fun stuff. Just nice. So here's the thing. So we've proven that we can't do infrastructure. We've proven that we don't like science. We've proven that we're more than happy to destroy the environment and the environment around the world for money. And anybody that calls me a screaming liberal can fucking bite my fat ass, because there is no other reason and no other reason given for what we're doing.
Why do I have unexplained bite marks on my ass? Yeah. I cannot explain.
I can fucking explain it. I'll tell you that right now. So, here's the thing. And here's the article that scared the shit out of me. Are you ready?
Because this is bad. Holding on tight.
Sources say that the Russia probe means that there are arrests possible and forthcoming in a RICO case against the GOP.
Yeah.
Right. Which would mean very easily that Trump could get ousted. Pence could get ousted. Sources are saying, and again, I have no proof on this. I am just looking at it. But there are sources that are saying that even Paul Ryan is complicit in some of the Russian contacts and could therefore be in trouble, which means one thing.
Orrin Hatch.
Orrin Hatch, President Orrin Hatch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've wanted that all the whole time. I mean, come on. He's of all of the...
Now, let's go back. Let's go back to the frightening and not get into the he could die. That would be nice. I am pretty sure that for myself and others, both surprise, unexpected, spontaneous anal bleeding will occur from how quickly the thought of it makes your asshole slam shut that it could actually damage the muscles that run that bit. I know Orrin Hatch. I've known Orrin Hatch since I was 7 years old. And he is, without a doubt, one of the most evil, disparate, sold out, completely bought sons of bitches to ever, ever trick an electorate into electing him somewhere. But you got Paul Ryan, also, who's supposed to be third in line. But people are saying that... he's been legally intercepted and is on tape admitting he knew Russian money was being laundered into the Republican Party.
Hatch?
No, Paul Ryan.
Well, Ryan, yeah, good.
Which means President Hatch.
Give a fuck.
But yeah, we've got FBI agents today, as we record this, executing a search warrant at the office of the GOP fundraiser consulting firm in Annapolis.
Now, the Virginia... outfit. I don't know whether or not it's the FBI, but I've been reading anecdotal information or information related to that as well. There are always two or three people that are out there that seem to have this patina of knowing that something's going on. And I think one of them is a conservative. Her name is Louise Mensch. Another person is a former intelligence person known as the Jester. So if you follow these people on the internet, they gave heads up a couple of weeks ago saying shit's going down. Now, of course, we all have lived through Fitzmas, all right? Patrick Fitzgerald and Rove and that whole thing. Yeah, more than what seems to be 10 years ago. You have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. It's nice to know, however, that some of this stuff is panning out, Jeff. It's very good because if they're going to go after them in a RICO statute, now that's interesting because then that's very LNS. The idea that they created an environment of collusion to throw an election their way or throw money surreptitiously to a foreign outfit or foreign government and a foreign government's intelligence service to undermine a democratic election. That's now we're getting pretty fucking close to treason. Maybe they can't get them for that. Maybe what they can get them for is RICO. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's not good beautiful. It's bad beautiful. You know,
am I missing something?
Well, no, naked ladies are beautiful. So I don't want to stick anything to do with the Trump administration by something I actually find beautiful. It's fun. It's funny in a tragic comedy sort of laughy Greek way. But I don't know. It's a big fat fucking clusterfuck. And anytime I get my hopes up on something like this, look, all I'm saying in the back of my head right now is that there's just no fucking way this is going to turn out the way I want to. I just have, and it could just be that my internal radar for this sort of thing is broken from You ever do something so goddamn whatever that you break the thing you did it with? Like I've broken a keyboard because I've been angry and typed something. I've broken a mouse or two or eight from angrily friendships. Clicking on things. And it's right now. I think that maybe the whole year and a half of me saying, please, please don't think it's impossible. He's going to be the president. Maybe that broke my internal sensor for this kind of shit. Mm. I don't think so. But I do not see the Republican Party in any way having any sort of either patriotism or testicular fortitude to push this to where it needs to go. To open a proper investigation. There's like seven Republicans, you know. There are 535 members, you know, of Congress, and there's seven Republicans in the House of that that are like, yeah, maybe we'll look at it, and a handful of senators that are like, well, we're concerned, but not concerned enough to do anything about it, and certainly not concerned enough to put our names by our concern. Fuck them.
Oh, God. I mean, as far as McCain is concerned, I'm very, very concerned. You know, John will talk the talk, and then he'll just not do anything. He'll just pull the party line, just like everybody else. Everybody else, he just toes the line.
John McCain was against torture, except for that little Bush chunk where Bush was like, hey, like torture. And he's like, okay, boss. And then Bush went out of office, and suddenly fucking McCain hates torture again. It was obscene. Yeah. It was disgusting. And I'm glad that he and John Stewart aren't friends anymore, because John Stewart called him on it and nobody else did. So that's it for me. Like I said, I'm more sitting around in a state of disbelief. Everything I had planned to talk about today, I had a good little story narrative going, starting out with women voting and the Transcontinental Railroad. And then I saw that fucking thing on Orrin Hatch and went, oh, so this is how it ends. Okay. So let's take a break. We'll get back on the other side. Tom, you can entertain me.
Oh, you've got it, man. You got it. Awesome.
That's fucking awesome.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
There are 10 jillion podcasts in this crazy world, but there is only one that serves a fresh pot of hi. How do you do? I'm Tom, your host of the Coffee Cast. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects. Sometimes I'll have guests, good stories, because people listen to what interests them. And sometimes it's the Coffee Cast. So if you're listening as you're texting the seventh draft of a resignation message to the soon-to-be former psychopathic boss, gift shopping rotary phones for your great-great aunt, or skydiving for the first time without a parachute, whoops, welcome to the Coffee Cast. Remember, you can download a fresh CoffeeCast podcast anytime at Stitcher and iTunes, and now on demand on the Progressive Voices app and progressivevoices.com. So until the next podcast brewed, I'll do my best to keep it fresh. The CoffeeCast podcast.
This part, I would say.
My D!
After last week and the healthcare clustering and the this week's expected. I expected Trump to fire Comey at some point. I certainly did. How he did it, how cruelly he did it. He's all right. Comey's no angel, no hero or anything. But just once again proves that Trump just wishes to do two things. humiliate anybody who gets in his way. Two, dominate. Dominate at all costs. So we're talking about the clot of squalid fuckery. And to demonstrate my point, there's been a piece that's been written. And if you are familiar with the name Tristero, Tristero is a person who writes for Hullabaloo. And it's been a great blog. He wrote by himself until, Digby Parton asked him, to come on board. Great writer, just really, just fantastic. Very, what more can I say? He wrote a piece he wrote a piece that for some particular reason, if I change some of the particulars in it, is evergreen. And yeah. I'll try to pirouette and jeté through some of these descriptions, and hopefully this will hold together. But Jeff, I know you're not a praying man. I'm not a praying person. Pray for me. Maybe this might work.
In nomine Patri et Filii Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Dominoes and dominoes and dominoes. And with that, it's called Loss. A catastrophic catastrophe. For those who expect more of the same, over the past period of time, I strongly urge you to stop kidding yourselves. It is about to get much worse. Much, much worse. For those who say, well, the bright side is that the current occupant of the White House will so wreck this country, the moral and political bankruptcy of conservatism will be apparent, I say don't even go there. Don't even start to go there. The full brunt of this disaster will not fall upon the middle class, let alone the upper middle class. If we're going to talk about tax cuts on the poor, the marginalized, the lower middle class will suffer terribly. An attitude that dooms the poor to more suffering in the cause of a better society strikes me as the height of immorality. Now what? Well, two broad topics are on my mind. One political, national, the other one personal. The Democratic Party, as it currently exists, is doomed as the party of national influence. Notice I wrote, quote, as it currently exists. It is possible that the extensive infrastructure of the party can be salvaged to construct a genuinely effective organization, but that is contingent upon an entirely new leadership that enthusiastically embraces the grassroots activism we saw develop recently. The guys in charge right now are hopeless and they have to go, all of them, right now. The political philosophy of a real Democratic Party should be obvious. It should actively promote mainstream American values of the kind that we have been discussing over the past couple of years. Any effective party in opposition to the Republicans simply must be a liberal political party and not afraid to use that word liberal. While there is much to like about them, I, for one, will not vote for people like Colin Powell.
Right. Or right.
Rockefeller style Republicans, even if they call themselves Democrats. We need real liberals, not more candidates to the right of Clinton, no matter even as great as Bill Clinton was. If the Democrats fail to change and change quickly, the only alternative is to abandon them. I am not the only American who was spurned into intense activism over the past period and donated thousands of dollars, far more than I could afford, to the Democratic Party and various Democratic candidates. To say the least, I am extremely disappointed. Given such fantastically opportune circumstances, a Republican hegemony of unmitigated incompetence and disaster. Republican opponents, like who all bordered on the verge of lunacy, and an exceptionally great flagship candidate, there are simply no excuses for such disastrous results. So, unless there are some major changes in FAST, the Democrats will never get another dime from me. I'll simply fund another group for the sake of discussion. I'll say it's Move On, but it could be some other mainstream liberal political organization, and I will treat them as a de facto party. I will support whoever they endorse, but only as candidates of that party, not as Democrats. If direct donations are not possible without going through the Democratic mechanisms, I'll simply donate to move on and let them disperse the funds if the Democrats don't get rid of the awful leadership that created their past disaster. Lots of people will join me in putting our money into a party that not only reflects our politics to some extent, but can also win, obviously. Huh. There is much more to be said here. An effective opposition party will certainly require rhetorical strategy as pithy as a Republican's and clear policy initiative plans that are clearly superior to the Republicans. Developing these is not a trivial undertaking. And, coming close to the conclusion here, perhaps the most breathtaking insight that I came to over the past couple of years of concentrating on American politics is just how utterly mediocre most of the expert level literature and reporters on politics is. I knew the media were awful. I knew the Republicans were hopeless. And the Democrats couldn't articulate their ideas terribly well. But I assumed that if I read foreign affairs and books by authors at that level, I would encounter plenty of great thought. But I didn't. It's all too true that in this administration, the lunatics are running the asylum, and then at the think tanks, the third rate are teaching their inferiors. The United States has a dangerous intellectual crisis on its hands. Whatever the reasons for this appalling situation, somehow, truly smart people must once again start writing about political philosophy. There aren't any in terms of brain power or mental stability. All right? You rolled off a bunch of people that were supposed to be the brain, let's just say the brain bank of the Republicans. They just simply aren't cutting the mustard. But the awful truth is that there isn't a single person on that list who considers themselves an influencer who hasn't been spectacularly wrong, terribly wrong about the world in the past. And yet they continue to be regarded as among the shining lights of foreign policy wonkery. So it concludes. So you think that that's just talking about a little bit about process, a little bit about the intellectual direction of liberals. I'm going to ask you, Jeff.
Yeah.
When do you think that that was written?
Probably in the 50s.
November 3rd, 2004. The day after the 2004 election with Bush.
Oh, okay.
And to me, it makes absolute sense because when they're talking about the pain and the suffering that's about to happen.
Can I have the question again? I'd like the question again.
And we still rotate about the same gyre. We still are rotating about the very same problems that we've had before. Maybe being a political party is systemically difficult. Maybe it is. Okay, fine. But what I'm trying to say is that the very similar problems keep coming up over and over again. Now, we weren't talking about Adlai Stevenson. We weren't talking about Bernie. Tangentially, he was talking about the election between John Kerry and George W. Bush. And that's what happened. And to me, when he said the harbinger of this was that things are going to get much worse, the middle class is going to suffer, the poor are going to suffer even more. Not just Katrina and the disaster of the two wars, but also the 2008 economic disaster that led to almost the greatest recession and almost a depression that the world had seen since the Great Depression.
Basically spot fucking on.
Totally on.
Yeah.
Totally on. And if you think that he is changed any whatsoever, I thought this was very interesting. From today, he writes, he goes, writing in Digby's blog, goes like this. But whether or not you're for impeachment, you ain't going anywhere. He's talking about Trump.
Yeah.
He quotes, among Trump supporters, the outrage is that Mr. Trump is again being held to an unfair standard, set by the very people and institutions that tried to stop his election in the first place. Democrats, resentful Republicans, and perhaps most of all, the news media. And while Trump supporters may be a minority, they're the only people who matter. Here's why. 86% to 13%. Those who identify as Republicans or independents who lean Republican have a favorable view of Trump, the Pew survey found. And why does this matter? Because, as you might recall, Republicans have locked down the entire federal government. That's why. Add in that the Republican Congress critters are way less popular than Trump. Asked who they would trust if the two sides disagreed, 52% of Republicans said they would side with Trump and 34% with the Republicans in Congress. And he's going nowhere. There's a tremendous incentive for Republicans to let Trump be Trump. For a serious investigation into collusion with Russia, please. So, with that kind of raw import, I leave it back to you, Jeff. That's the takeaway there.
All right, let's take a break. We get back on the other side. We can talk about the lessons that we learned. This was supposed to be the happy part of the show. It turns out what's happening is that the lessons that we learned is just more like, oh my God. So yeah, let's take a quick break.
There we go.
Stand by. Hey folks, Jeff here.
And JC here.
Oh, and Taylor.
I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon is how, for the most part, we are paying the bills around here.
Come on, help us pay some bills.
It's important. These shows cost money to both make and distribute, and we don't ask for money very often. And what we're asking for here is you, as a listener, pitching in $5, $10 a month, you know, over the course of the year to help us grow and get bigger. We need it now. More than ever.
But look, you're not just throwing us money. We're going to give you something really unique for your money. Normally, everything you get from us is free. You get a free download of our podcast, The Left Show, the world's greatest podcast, comic book podcast, and of course...
The truck stop visits.
Yeah, the truck stop visits and Geek Therapist. And instead, we're going to give you exclusive content, stuff that we record separately that is then put out for only you to listen to.
Yeah, and I don't have dollar restrictions on that stuff. You pitch in $5 a month, you pitch in $25 a month, that's it. There are goals there if you do throw in a little bit extra. We send you presents as soon as I can find them.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are waiting for presents, I just need to find the boxes. Don't worry about it. But no, with Geek Therapist, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and of course this, The Left Show, and our exclusive content, you get more as a Patreon member of our family than you do anywhere else. So... go to the website for your favorite of the Defend Media families, whether that be theleftshow.com, worldsgreatestpodcast.com, or geektherapist.com. Click on the Patreon button, become a part of the family, and start getting the cool shit nobody else is getting.
You know you want it. You know you do.
Just do it.
I'm not kidding. This is, oh yeah, 3, 2, 1, we're going, by the way. So I forgot to count us back in.
And back to the happy time.
Yeah, my apologies.
This is where we bring up the mood a little bit.
Oh, is that what we're supposed to do here?
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, this feels more like where we get to the, you know.
We're fucked.
Here's where you go in the case of an emergency. Here's where you go when the bombs start to fly. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to roll over and kiss your ass goodbye. I don't know what the fuck I've learned this week. I don't know. There's no...
Do we have to?
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to learn something from yours, because mine, there's nothing to learn other than just little nuggets of, oh my fucking God, what have we done? But
That's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know what, the reason, and I know better, but the reason that I went back, the reason that when you said that, when was this written? And I'm thinking in the 50s, because this was back when we had guys like Eisenhower saying things like any politician of any party that goes after Social Security, you know, needs to be tarred, feathered, trussed up, and kicked in the taint. I'm pretty sure that's an exact quote. But, or not, but, you know.
Well, that's boot to the taint, I think.
Because we even had problems with Clinton.
Oh, God, we did.
Clinton's election and his run and then his you know, double-decker presidency. And I'm not talking about the blowjob because I honest to God think that, yes, yes, it was wrong. Okay?
But
shouldn't have done
it. But a moral situation between him and his wife.
And
so you'd have never gotten to that level.
And
ever.
A chubby intern, who it turns out is also ridiculously hot now. And actually kind of was very pretty then. But, yeah, I mean, what that comes down to basically is, you know, Clinton broke some shit because he was trying so fucking hard to just steer right down the middle. Mm-hmm. I want a liberal party. I want a faithful opposition. But that opposition needs to be in opposition. It needs to be opposite. And not, it doesn't have to be frightfully so. We don't have to be insanely combative. But we do need to stand up. We do need to fight back. We do need to tell the truth. At the same time, we're still fighting with journalism on the false equivalency thing. Journalism is not he said, she said. You know, modern reporting is, modern newspapering, modern television is, news. News is he said, she said. Journalism is not. And that is why when people keep giving each other fucking awards for journalism, for things that are not journalistic in quality, it pisses me off. Because it is a bastardization of something that used to have meaning. When puff pieces and he said, she said pieces on politics are handed off Edward R. Murrow Awards, the fact that his ghost doesn't show up as an angry fucking poltergeist and start throwing plates at these fucking idiots blows my mind. You know?
Or people like Chris Cizilek, who keep falling upwards, who's now at CNN. God almighty.
You know, here's the thing, man. It's like, I have reporters that I consider friends. We're not friendly because they're reporters. You know? And so I don't trust them.
Because he could say something.
No, because I know that they're good reporters. They're journalists. You know? And if I said something stupid, it didn't matter if they were God, father, or mother to my children. If I said something reportable, they would report it. So we don't hang out until they retire. And I don't mean that in a mean way, and I certainly miss them, but they've got their job to do and I've got mine. And mine is to light shit on fire verbally. And theirs is to report on it if I step out of line. So, you know, I'm with them and I understand it and I miss them. And someday I hope we can all be buddies again. But in the meantime, I know journalists. The problem with the journalists that I know is that those journalists have editors and their editors keep making them sell out. You know, making the he said, she said bullshit. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm at. That's what I've learned. Is that we're doomed, and we're doomed because of all the little parts and pieces have all been sold out by monetary interests.
My takeaway is if you've been sleepwalking your way through the last 10, 15, 20 years and let things go, we're now dealing right on pretty close to, if not just fascism, straight out fascism, authoritarianism, and we're also dealing with The institutions are grappling with the fact of a hostile takeover by a person who, by the day, becomes more and more crazy, more and more enraged, lashing out, acting. Nothing this individual who's in the White House is doing is logical and rational. Therefore, what is the proper language is... As George Lakoff kind of put together yesterday or the day before, remember, when you're talking about a subject, remember your opposition will start throwing in distraction. Immediately identify the subject as distraction. Two, go back to the conversation at hand. If you're talking about Russia, it's about Russia. If you're talking about healthcare and keeping Obamacare, talk about that. If you're talking about tax cuts, are about to be the most cruelest you could possibly imagine. Talk about that. And then talk that the opposition will do everything. Will do everything to distract, to derail the conversation. And furthermore, the idea is that we are dealing with non-normal times, with people taking non-normal, anti-un-American directions. And that truly the Republic, truly our future is at stake. These are serious things, and it's gotten serious, so serious over the last 6 months. People come home, I deal with them. You know, they're just going, I can't cope with it anymore. I can't blame them. It's ringing everybody out. Now's the time for you to stand your ground and fight. If we go down swinging, I don't give a shit. I'd rather go down swinging, but standing by and falling asleep and letting them roll over us. Can you imagine the kind of world there's going to be? The thing I said when I came home election night to my boys was, we are going to war. We are going to war politically. We're going to war with a war of ideas. There's also the chance the crazy guy in the White House would put us into a war. That is also there too.
What, this is just one
that we chose. This was thrown at us. So we punch back, and we're good at that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you. I just wonder why you only thought we're only going to have one war.
We shall have many.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's one of my kids is talking about joining ROTC.
Well, maybe that won't be such, see, here's the thing is I spoke to my father-in-law about that and about a couple of months ago and saying, I'm really starting to be concerned. He goes, I know you're concerned. He left, you know, the country, you know, they left the country when things were falling apart in 68. That was actually the second time, you know, that they left the country because things were just so crazy. He says, even if the kids are in a military situation, they can wind up having office positions and stuff like that. If you're thinking about fleeing right now, this is a reaction. There's a lot that has to happen first in order for things to get to a crazy warfare situation. But go on. I interrupted you.
Oh, no, no, no. She wants to do ROTC. Now, I'm a military fetishist way back. You know, my whole plan coming up in life was to fly helicopters in the Marine Corps and blow shit up in other countries. Because that's what you do. And instead, I had a drunk driver.
Like Marathon, you know, the 1996 sure. Game that came with every Macintosh.
I wouldn't know what that is. So, you know, and it's, I get it, you're Oregon. you guys aren't allowed PCs in Oregon. But no, it's she wants to go ROTC. And I'm like, okay, you can do it. She's like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah. If we get to a point where... If we get into too many conflicts in too many places, you know the selective service is going to kick in. As a firm believer in equality, have always thought that women should be registered in the selective service. You know, if I can't open the door for you without you calling me names, you get to register just like everybody else, right? But seriously, the draft could easily come back the minute they find out their volunteer army's like, yeah, fuck no. So if that happens, I want my kid to be in a position, you know, my youngest is transgender, so I don't think we're gonna have a problem there, but I want my kid to be in a position to either one, be an officer, or two, be in the Air Force,
right?
And barring any of that, the Navy. I don't want her in a combat situation because I love my kid. The feminist in me, the supporter of equality in me, believes that everybody should be able to do what they want, including infantry. I do believe that. I do believe that there is no reason not to have women.
Why should there be any difference? Exactly. Right.
Trust me, some of the scariest people I know are women. And yeah, I know that was cheap and I took it, but it's true. So, but yeah, it comes. I want her to be an officer. And if she's going to be an officer, if she's not going to be an officer, I want her in the Air Force because the Air Force is backwards and they're the ones that send their officers off to war, you know, and worse comes to worse, I want her in the Navy, even though on an assault, a personal assault ratio, the Navy is the most dangerous place for her to be, you know, as a woman. It's also the lowest fatality rate. So, I mean, this is the shit I'm juggling when I think about how bad things are. And then I see my mother, You know, and the second I see her, I'm like, oh, yeah, hey, it's my mom. Or, oh, hey, it's my dad. And then I know that those old white fuckers voted for this son of a bitch. And that shit that he does, that they voted for, as they are near death's door, is going to affect my children long after I'm gone. And I'm pissed. I'm still fucking pissed about it. So... Mm-hmm. I don't know what that has to do with much of anything, but boy, am I
upset. No, that's upset. It's okay, because I think that's just the general outlet is what matters.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where we're at.
It is.
You know, there is just an asymmetrical warfare going on by a crazy man and his minions. They've lost the narrative. They've lost the plot. They're just careening from crisis to crisis. They'll only get any traction if we let them. And I think that the consequences of everything are just too great to just let the status quo be. We've got to take action.
Oh, sure.
I'm totally with you there.
I am. But, dude, I've been around long enough to know. Look, I am beset on all sides by people that will win a skirmish, declare the war over, and then lose the war the next week. Healthcare, the whole healthcare debacle is fucking a perfect example of how out of fucking touch Democrats are with reality. Okay? Yeah, Paul Ryan tabled it in March. And there were celebrations and cheers and jumping up and down and dancing around. And look what we did. Look what we did. And then there's assholes like me and you standing over here going, holy fuck, quit celebrating. This isn't done. We're less than 100 days in at that particular point. You guys, there's how many years left, at least, if there were some hope of a flip in the midterms in Congress, which won't happen, by the way, will not fucking happen. But even then, you had a year and a half for them to bring it back. They brought it back weeks later. You know, angrier than it was before.
And worse than it was before.
Yeah. And there's
no CBO score, no public hearings, no time at all. Vote on it. And then they go and celebrate.
And now it's up to the Senate. And the Senate's like, yeah, it's not right. And there are people that just watch this bullshit happen. They're like, oh, the Senate will fix it. Are you fucking kidding me?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Mitch McConnell is the guy that just destroyed decades of you know, tradition, making sure that they get their asshole on the Supreme Court after he destroyed decades of tradition by not giving our guy a fucking hearing, let alone an up and down vote. You tell me the fucking Senate's going to fix this shit? No. They're going to make it even worse because they got assholes like Orrin Hatch that is responsible for the fact that when the ACA passed, it was another 4 fucking years before pre-existing condition discrimination was against the law. That fucker's coming back. You better fucking believe it. Too many of those old white ass clowns were so fucking pissed about it in the first place. There's no way that they're going to ignore this opportunity. It's totally coming back. Because half of those assholes seem to have been in the House at the time and are now senators. And there's fucking Orrin Hatch, beady-eyed little crypt keeper, wearing his makeup and smelling like fucking weird funeral flowers, leading the charge. And if everything goes his way, and this is the thing I believe is actually possible because it's too fucked up not to be, he ends up as the appointed president of the United States because the other fuckers are in jail wondering how the hell Al Capone managed to do it with, you know, fucking syphilis. So.
Yeah.
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 Hey, happy good time show again.
And if that's the case. There we go. Just another lovely, fantastic show. All right. So until next time, these are your Roastmasters. Later, Jeff.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Tom.
Chris, this is your mother. Get these dildos out of the dishwasher.
baby. Love me twice today. Love me two time, girl. I'm gone away. Love me two time, girl. One for tomorrow, one just for today. Love me two time.